Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, August 1st. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Bond Committee Presentation, Things to Know, Proposition B, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Editor's note, the following is another in a series of stories of the Midland ISD Bond Planning Committee's presentation to the school board last week. Proposition B is an attempt to put an elementary school in a growing part of Midland and to take up deferred maintenance and renovations to Midland's ISD aging roster of schools. The Midland ISD Bond Planning Committee put together Proposition B as a $312.2 million answer to two problems impacting the school district. Should the Midland ISD School Board approve the proposition, it will appear on a November 7th ballot referendum. The plan approved by the Midland ISD Bond Planning Committee takes care of the following district-wide: mechanical, electrical, and plumbing updates, interior improvements, site improvements, building exterior improvements, HVAC improvements, roofing, flooring, and restroom upgrades. The district reported that the improvements, renovations, maintenance will impact every MISD campus. New elementary school. The other Proposition B item is the building of a new 740-seat elementary school in Northeast Midland. The school, which would become the new General Franks location, would serve students in pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, according to the district. The campus, located in Lone Star Trails development, would offer the following: 35 general classrooms, special education classrooms, a gymnasium, a cafeteria with stage, a media center slash library, and other core areas to expand project-based learning areas. Each grade has its own neighborhood that includes a collaboration area, 2 to 5 classrooms, a teacher collaboration space, and a one-on-one meeting room. Daylit classrooms with views to the exterior. Budget includes all furniture, fixtures, equipment, and technology systems. Safety and security features. Secured entry vestibules. Updated cameras. Intrusion alarm. Access control. Intercom and radio communication systems. The current General Franks campus would then be renamed and become a neighborhood school for students in East Midland. This article is entitled, Commissioners Approve Tax Rebate for Bass Pro Developer, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Midland County Commissioners approved a 10-year sales tax rebate for Hodges Development Services, the developer of the proposed Bass Pro Shops coming to Midland. On July 10th, county leaders had voted down a sales tax rebate. The expanded size of the facility from 65,000 square feet to 100,000 square feet and the terms of the rebate facilitated the change of Midland County's vote. According to county commissioners, the sales tax rebate will be granted for every business on the 17 acres that Bass Pro Shops will be built on. There is an unbelievable amount of other businesses that follow Bass Pro around, County Judge Terry Johnson said. The size they are talking about, I would think, would rival the size of San Antonio Bass Pro Shops. If you just look at all the surrounding businesses that followed Bass Pro to that facility, I think you get an idea of the scope of what this means to this community. In addition, Johnson said the implementation of Bass Pro Shops and surrounding businesses is a chance for Midland to add community amenities and diversify industry within the county. From the early days of the cattle industry, to the current days of our oil industry, we have essentially been a singular industry community. Midland now has one of the major retailers in the nation wanting to set up shop here and begin the diversification of our economy that will transform us like never before, Johnson wrote in a press release. Precinct 2 Commissioner Jeff Summers said the opportunity to bring Bass Pro Shops will provide a hub for the outdoor sporting community. The amount of employees this is going to bring us, the facilities, the size of the facilities, the acreage, everything that goes along with it, is probably more than we've seen around here in a long time, he said. Summers echoed Johnson's message that the new retailer will diversify the local industrial landscape. Midland Mayor Lori Blong stated her approval in a press release following Monday's meeting. The City of Midland, our council, and I have worked for many months with Midland County, the Midland Development Corporation, and the Midland County Hospital District to bring this Bass Pro development successfully to Midland. We are thankful for these community partnerships, for the shared vision of leadership, for increased regional prosperity. Bass Pro Shops is part of a much larger vision for responsible development in our community, and so we thank Midland County for their vote of support today. We are moving Midland forward together, she wrote. All four Midland County commissioners in attendance voted to enter into the same agreement that the City of Midland previously entered with Hodges Development Services, except Midland County expanded the length of the sales tax rebate to 10 years instead of 7. Midland County provided Bass Pro Shops consumer information following their decision. According to the county, the average visitor to Bass Pro Shops travels more than 45 miles, with many traveling more than 100 miles and from surrounding states. Additionally, 60% of all Bass Pro Shops visitors incorporate a sit-down meal into their trip, and approximately 40% add a one-night stay in the respective city, which adds a benefit for Midland restaurants and hotels, the county stated. This article is called Opinion. It is entitled, Incentives Are an Investment in Our Community's Future, by Terry Johnson, Midland County Judge. From the early days of the cattle industries to the current days of our oil industry, we have essentially been a singular industry community. Midland now has one of the major retailers in the nation wanting to set up shop here and begin the diversification of our economy that will transform us like never before. Midlanders love Bass Pro, and Bass Pro will love Midland. Our community leaders are listening to Midlanders and working hard to bring them a higher quality of place right in our backyard. Mayor Lori Blong offers the following quote today. The City of Midland, our council, and I have worked for many months with Midland County, the Midland Development Corporation, and the Midland County Hospital District to bring this Bass Pro development successfully to Midland. We are thankful for these community partnerships, for the shared vision of leadership for increased regional prosperity. Bass Pro Shops is part of a much larger vision for responsible development in our community, and so we thank Midland County for their vote of support today. We are moving forward together. Let's take a look at some of the numbers. Nationwide, the average visitor to Bass Pro Shops travels over 45 miles, with many traveling 100 miles and from other states. This provides the opportunity to bring dollars from outside communities to Midland, supporting our economy from external sources. There's more. Approximately 60% of all Bass Pro Shops visitors incorporate a sit-down meal into their trip, and approximately 40% added a one-night stay. The benefit for Midland restaurants and hotels is clear. Bass Pro Shops will serve as an anchor for additional retail development westward along the 191 corridor. a family entertainment complex is already planned, and additional large retailers are already inquiring about adjoining land. So Bass Pro Shops is a vital anchor for what else may come. As Mayor Blong and I have discussed, incentives are not a loss to taxing entities or taxpayers. The planned site for Bass Pro Shops is unimproved land that currently generates minimal property tax and no sales tax. The property tax abatement and sales tax rebates granted are based on Bass Pro Shops' ability to attract customers to Midland. Without performance, there are no incentives. Therefore, but for the project happening, the taxes do not exist to reinvest in the project. As mentioned, economic development is a competitive sport. Other Texas communities utilize property tax abatement and sales tax rebates to bring large retailers to their cities. It's clear that if Midland doesn't use the economic development tools we have, we will lose this project, and many others, to communities that are more ambitious and aggressive in their business recruitment. We are on the precipice of realizing our vision for our community. We need to continue the momentum we have built and continue to grow. For all these reasons, we as community leaders believe it is essential to see incentives as an investment in our community's future. This article is entitled Jerry Morales, Inducted into Texas Restaurant Association Hall of Honor, by Stuart Doreen. Former Mayor Jerry Morales was inducted into the Texas Restaurant Association Hall of Honor. The announcement on the Restaurant Association's Facebook page states, "This award recognizes Jerry's significant contribution to the Texas restaurant industry and the association, and is the highest honor the association can bestow." Morales is a former board president of the Texas Restaurant Association. His restaurant ownership has included Gerardo's Casita and Mulberry Cafe. In August of last year, Morales told the Reporter-Telegram he was in the process of selling his restaurants to his son. He said at the time the next step of his life would be as a licensed insurance agent with Morales and Mays Financial Services. The 2023 Texas Restaurant Awards took place earlier this month in Houston. This article is entitled "Midland Donors Help DeSantis Outraise Trump in Texas," by Jeremy Wallace, staff writer. In Texas, Florida Governor and presidential candidate Ron DeSantis is outraising former President Donald Trump. While Ron DeSantis may have struggled during his first months on the presidential campaign circuit, he's done well in Texas, outraising all other GOP contenders since he got into the race, including former President Donald Trump. Thanks to big money from the oil and real estate industry in Texas, DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has pulled in more than $2 million since May, while Trump raised almost $1.7 million from donors in the Lone Star State during that same period. "There is enormous enthusiasm for Governor Ron DeSantis in Texas," said U.S. Representative Chip Roy, an Austin Republican who endorsed DeSantis even before he officially joined the race. DeSantis was helped by a string of fundraisers in Texas in June, followed by his first official campaign event in the state, a visit to the Texas border with Roy by his side. He pulled in almost $1 million during that month alone. Texas, which doesn't hold its GOP primary until March 5th, is not one of the traditional early voting states like Iowa and New Hampshire that draw candidates to county fairs and small-town diners months before voting begins. But Texas donors do have deep pockets, particularly for Republicans. That makes pit stops in Houston, Dallas, and Midland essential to funding campaign operations in those early states. Power players in Texas, mostly in the oil industry, have long used their money to influence presidential politics, said Brandon Rottinghouse, a political science professor at the University of Houston. Texas has been the cash machine for presidential politics since World War II, he said. Oil and gas executives are well represented among DeSantis's early Texas donors. They include Kelsey Warren of Energy Transfer Partners in Dallas, Cody Campbell of Double Eagle Energy Company in Fort Worth, and S. Javed Anwar of Midland Energy, all of whom gave the maximum $3,300 allowable for DeSantis in the primary. DeSantis has repeatedly blasted President Joe Biden's energy policies, scoffing at Biden's comments about ending reliance on oil and gas. One of his June campaign fundraising stops was in Midland, the center of the state's latest oil boom. He also won the support of Dallas real estate billionaire Harlan Crow and telecom executive Kenny Trout, who also donated to Trump's campaign a month earlier. While DeSantis has outraised Trump during the last 3 months, Trump still has more money overall from Texas because he got into the race in November and has had 6 more months to raise money than DeSantis. Texas played a key role in Trump's tenure in the White House, and during his re-election bid in 2020, when he raised a record $61.6 million from Texas donors. During his 4 years as president, Trump made 19 stops in Texas, many of them to hold rallies and raise money for his re-election. In March, Trump held one of his Make America Great Again rallies in Waco, his most recent stop in Texas, where he jabbed at DeSantis frequently. Among the donors sticking by Trump's side and giving him the maximum donation for the primary are Houston restaurant and casino owner Tillman Fertitta, Tyler's Joe Cavender, who is president of Cavender's Boots, and Dallas's Doug Deason, a prolific conservative donor and activist in Texas politics. Texas has also become the number one donor for another Republican hopeful, Nikki Haley. The former South Carolina governor reported raising more than $1.6 million from Texas donors, outpacing the $1.4 million she raised in her home state. Haley has picked up the maximum $3,300 donations for the primary from Texas donors like John Now of Houston's Silver Eagle Beverages, Nancy Kinder of the Kinder Foundation in Houston, and Deason, who also gave to Trump and DeSantis. They aren't the only big Texas donors splitting donations. Houston's Clive Fields, president of Village Medical, donated the maximum allowable to both Haley and DeSantis. No other Republican candidates for the White House have raised more than $400,000 in Texas, including former U.S. Representative Will Hurd of San Antonio, who has raised $111,000 from the state for his long-shot bid. This article is entitled Midland's Donnelly Reappointed to Texas Historical Commission by Mella McEwen. A Midland man has been reappointed to the Texas Historical Commission by Governor Greg Abbott. Garrett Donnelly is vice president of the Eastland Oil Company, vice president and COO of Eastland International Resources, Inc., manager of Rocinante Energy, LLC, and managing partner of Bear Lodge Minerals, LLC. He was reappointed to the commission, along with Lori Limbacher of Austin and Kathy McKnight of Dallas. Fritz Duda of Dallas and Ted Hofton of El Paso were named to the commission. All five will serve terms set to expire February 1, 2029. The Texas Historical Commission provides leadership and coordinates services to support projects commissioned by county historical commissions, historical societies, agencies, and institutions interested in the preservation of archaeological and historical heritage. The commission also acts as a clearinghouse and historical information center. This article is entitled Midland Police, Two People Shot in Southeast Midland, by Stuart Doreen. Two people were shot Friday night in Southeast Midland, according to a report from the Midland Police Department. MPD reported that at approximately 11:48 p.m., officers responded to the 500 block of South Calhoun Street regarding a call of shots fired. Officers arriving on scene found two subjects with gunshot wounds, MPD reported. Both were initially treated on scene, then transported to Midland Memorial Hospital. MPD also reported that an initial investigation revealed an unknown subject drove by and shot both victims before fleeing the scene. One of the victims was a juvenile. The investigation is ongoing. This article is entitled National Weather Service, August Starts with 100 Degree Days, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The month of August will start off with at least a week's worth of 100 degree days, according to the National Weather Service. Following a triple-digit reprieve to end July, the 100 degree temperatures are expected to return, at least seven of them, to start the month. The highest of the high temperatures is expected to be 104 degrees on Friday. The National Weather Service reports that July will go down as one of the hottest months in Midland's history. It was reported there is no rain expected in the next 7 days. Weather report. Monday's high, 99 degrees. Typical high for July 31st, 96. Monday's low, 74 degrees. Typical low for July 31st, 73. Record high for July 31st, 105 in 1944. Last 3 days. Saturday, 98 degrees. Sunday, 97. Monday, 99. Next 3 days. Tuesday, 101 degrees. Wednesday, 101. Thursday, 102. The source of this article is the National Weather Service. This article is entitled, Senate Passes Act to Create I-27 West Through Midland, by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Legislation passed unanimously in the U.S. Senate last week gives the Ports to Plains Corridor Interstate 27 an official name. The legislation now heads to the U.S. House of Representatives, where Representatives August Pfluger, along with fellow Republicans Jody Arrington and Ronnie Jackson, and Democrat Henry Cuellar, are sponsoring the I-27 Numbering Act of 2023, H.R. 3209. SB 992 designates the route numbers for the future interstate highway through Texas and into New Mexico as Laredo to Sterling City as I-27, the connection from Sterling City through Midland to La Mesa as I-27 West, the corridor between Sterling City and La Mesa as I-27 East, La Mesa northbound through Lubbock to Amarillo, passing through Dumas to Raton, New Mexico as I-27, and the corridor north of Dumas as I-27 North. The legislation was sponsored by Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn of Texas and Martin Hendrick and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico. Lauren Garduño, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Ports to Plains Alliance, was especially appreciative of the work of Senator Cruz in working in a bipartisan way to move the project forward. Motron applauds Senator Cruz's efforts on this legislation, which designates Midland-Odessa as the western segment of Interstate 27. James Beecham, president of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Today, the Permian Basin accounts for over 40% of U.S. oil production, 24% of U.S. natural gas production, and is home to 30% of freight movement in Texas. The effort by Senator Cruz to ensure the Permian was included as a primary route will aid in the development of domestic energy production and be a tremendous driver of economic activity along the corridor. Beecham further added that the bill, as originally written, would have relegated Midland-Odessa to ancillary route known as I-227 and pushed the primary corridor through Big Spring. The Alliance expressed its concern over that designation to Senator Cruz's office several times and pushed for a segment of the primary route to come through Midland-Odessa. The recently passed bill now designated our route as I-27 West. We think that makes a lot more sense based on all the previous studies and research, Beecham wrote. He offered several examples of Midland-Odessa's importance to the planned I-27 corridor. The Midland-Odessa Combined Statistical Area, CSA, alone would account for 60% of the projected population growth for the 69 counties included in the entire corridor, and 69% of that growth along Segment 2 in the I-27 study conducted by the Texas Department of Transportation. The three counties that comprise the Midland-Odessa CSA, Ector, Martin, and Midland, would account for just over 51% of the projected 2050 population on Segment 2, and approximately 34% of the 2050 population for the 69 counties in the entire corridor study area. The Midland-Odessa CSA accounts for 23% of the baseline for total employment for the 69 counties included in the entire corridor study area, and 32.4% of all labor income in that same area. The Midland-Odessa CSA accounts for 26% of all gross domestic product on the entire corridor. And the Permian Basin is also home to 30% of all statewide freight in Texas. This article is entitled U.S. Geological Service: 5 Earthquakes Take Place in Howard County Over the Weekend, by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. The U.S. Geological Survey reported that 5 earthquakes took place over the weekend in Howard County. 4 were reported north of County Road 40, about 22 miles northwest of Big Spring. The strongest and most recent of the cluster was a 3.5 magnitude quake reported Monday at 4:25 a.m. at a depth of 3.6 miles. On Saturday, a 3.3 magnitude quake took place at 6:16 p.m. at a depth of 5 miles. The activity continued into the early hours on Sunday with a 1.9 magnitude quake at 5:44 a.m. A 2.3 magnitude was reported at 8:08 p.m. Both were at a depth of 4 miles. A 2.4 magnitude quake was also reported about 10 miles south of Big Spring at about 2:23 a.m. on Sunday. EarthquakeTrack.com reported Monday there had been 15 tremors in and around Big Spring in the past 30 days and 172 in the past 365 days. This article is entitled DPS: Man Dies in Crash Near Craddock Highway, by Stuart Doreen. A 30-year-old San Angelo man died Saturday morning following a collision at the Craddock Highway and County Road 60, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS reported that around 4:17 a.m., a 2016 Kia Optima was traveling northwest on County Road 60 when the driver failed to yield the right-of-way at a stop sign-marked intersection. The Kia was struck by a 2005 Chevrolet Silverado, DPS reported. The driver of the Kia Optima, Ario Pela Fine of San Angelo, was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital and was pronounced deceased by medical staff, DPS reported. Both drivers were wearing their respective seatbelts. The fatality is the 25th reported this year inside Midland County, according to Reporter-Telegram records. This article is entitled Rent Increases Surge in Midland, Odessa by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Rents are rising faster in Midland, Odessa than any other metropolitan area in West Texas and across the state, according to ApartmentList.com. The online apartment guide reported in its national rent report that Midland, Odessa topped the list of rent increases in July and during the past 12 months. The rent increase in July was 2% in Odessa and 1.9% in Midland. In the case of Midland, it put the tall city as the lone West Texas community with an average two-bedroom rent greater than $1,100. Midland's $1,106 rent was higher than San Angelo, $1,081, and Abilene, $1,059, according to the apartment list. There was no monthly report for Lubbock. ApartmentList.com's rent report showed a monthly increase of 0.3% across the nation. Rents increased modestly in July in 71 of the nation's 100 largest cities, ApartmentList.com reported. Year-over-year rent growth is an area where Midland, Odessa has no equals. ApartmentList.com reports the rents have increased 17.9% in Odessa and 13.8% in Midland. The Petroplex communities are the only two in the state with yearly growth at or above 10%. The website also showed the average one-bedroom rents, $882 in Midland, $738 in Odessa, $829 in Abilene, and $879 in San Angelo. July rent report. Month-over-month growth. In Texas, Odessa 2.0%. Midland 1.9%. Waco 1.9%. Bryan 1.8%. Flower Mound 1.7%. In West Texas, Odessa 2.0%. Midland 1.9%, Abilene 0.2%, San Angelo minus 0.7%. Year-over-year rent growth. In West Texas, Odessa 17.9%, Midland 13.8%, Abilene 5.6%, San Angelo 4.9%. The average two-bedroom rents, Midland $1,106, Odessa $972, Abilene $1,059, San Angelo $1,081, Houston $1,300, Fort Worth $1,338, Dallas $1,468, and Austin $1,774. This is the obituary column, entitled Life Tributes. Raymond Barron, 3/6/1947 to 7/27/2023. Raymond Duard Barron died peacefully in his home in Midland on July 27th and was surrounded by his family. Ray was born March 6, 1947, to C. Raymond Barron and Iris King in Pittsburgh, California. In 1967, he graduated from Midland High School and married the love of his life, Evelyn Ruth Schumann. Together, they built a loving home, large family, and enjoyed 54 years of marriage. Ray is preceded in death by his loving wife, Evelyn Ruth Schumann Barron, Ruthie, his parents, C. Raymond Barron and Iris King, and his brothers Clarence Homer Barron and Delmer Barron. He is survived by 7 children, 15 grandkids, and 11 great-grandkids. He is also survived by his sister Cheryl Gatlin. The Barron family asks that you wear blue to celebrate the wonderful life of their dad. Blue was his favorite color. Please join us for visitation at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home on August 1st from 4 to 8 p.m. We will pray the rosary at 7 p.m. The funeral will be held on August 2nd at 10 a.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church, and a graveside service will follow at Ellis Rest Haven Memorial Park. Reception to follow at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation to the American Cancer Society or Hospice of Midland. Melinda Brady. Melinda Brady, 63, of Midland, passed away July 29th. The family will hold a private service at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Ann Fannin. Mary Ann Fannin, 70, of Midland, passed away on July 28th at Midland Memorial Hospital. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements have been entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home of Midland.
This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, August 1st. Tips lead to arrest of robbery suspect. A 27-year-old Odessa man was arrested Thursday, roughly 3 weeks after he allegedly robbed a convenience store clerk at knife point. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Colton Bazell walked into the DK store in the 5100 block of North Dixie Boulevard around 1:30 a.m. July 5th, showed the clerk a knife and demanded she let him take whatever he wanted. Surveillance video showed Bazell walking behind the counter, selecting items and telling the clerk that if she called the law, he'd hurt her, the report stated. Bazell was identified after the video was shared with the public, and detectives compared the video with Facebook photos and his previous mugshots, the report stated. Bazell was arrested on an aggravated robbery warrant. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on an $80,000 surety bond. Aggravated robbery is a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison. OPD investigating package theft. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a package theft from a residence located on Old Lampasas Trail. According to an OPD press release, at approximately 5 p.m. on July 14th, an unknown male subject stole a package from a residence located on Old Lampasas Trail. Anyone who recognizes the suspect or vehicle shown in the surveillance footage is encouraged to contact Detective H. Hughes at 432-335-3345 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 23-000-8175. OPD investigating trailer theft. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a theft at Sparklight, located at 4701 East 52nd Street. According to an OPD press release, investigation revealed that two unknown male subjects cut a fence and stole a $10,000 utility trailer. The suspects were occupying a red Ford Ranger with no tailgate. Anyone who recognizes the suspects or vehicle shown in the surveillance footage is encouraged to contact Detective N. Troglin at 432-284-2012 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 23-000-5001. Odessa Rotary Club fundraiser benefits Rehab Center. The Odessa Rotary Club donated $1,241 to the Permian Basin Rehab Center at its recent meeting at Odessa College. The Rotary Club raised the money by having a weekly card drawing, with the proceeds going to a local charity. IDEA Public Schools offer free meals through community eligibility provision. IDEA Public Schools announced Monday it will be implementing the Community Eligibility Provision, CEP, under the National School Lunch and Breakfast Programs for the upcoming 2023-24 school year. All IDEA schools in the Permian Basin will provide nutritious breakfast and lunch to all students at no charge. This will eliminate the collection of meal applications for free, reduced price, and paid student meals. Through the community eligibility provision, we are excited to provide free breakfast and lunch for all IDEA students, Fernando Aguilar, Vice President of the Child Nutrition Program at IDEA Public Schools, said in a news release. These meal offerings will help reduce the burden on families and allow our scholars to get healthy meals to help fuel them for a full day of learning and fun. No action is required from families for their children to participate in the free meal offerings. The two IDEA Permian Basin qualifying schools are SEP in 2023-2024 are IDEA Travis and IDEA Yukon. For additional information about the Community Eligibility Program, CEP, please contact IDEA Public Schools Attention Child Nutrition Program, CNP, 2115 North Pike Boulevard, Welasco, Texas, 78596. People arrested following overdose call. Odessa police officers summoned to a medical call on Tropicana Avenue early Saturday morning had to perform CPR on an overdose victim and ended up making two drug arrests also. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the officers found a 30-year-old woman lying on the living room floor, not breathing, after getting a 911 call around 1:40 a.m. They began CPR on the woman, and she was later taken to Medical Center Hospital. According to the report, while searching the house for other victims, they found the homeowners, Tanya Nguyen, 47, and Son Thai Tran, Sr., 51, in a back room. The officers also found a bag containing 16.9 ounces of marijuana, folded $1 bills with more than 3 grams of cocaine inside, a small bag of cocaine, and 177 grams of cannabis-infused gummies, the report stated. Tran, who had what appeared to be cocaine on one of his nostrils, was arrested on suspicion of 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance and possession of marijuana, the report stated. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on surety bonds totaling $43,500. Nguyen Tran's wife was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance and possession of marijuana. She remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on surety bonds totaling $28,500. The controlled substance charges are second-degree felonies punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Father accused of rebar attack. An Odessa man was arrested Thursday after his son accused him of attacking him with rebar so violently it bent the piece of metal. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer responding to an assault call in the 3800 block of Melody Lane on July 25th found a 23-year-old man barely able to move his left arm and left leg with red marks on those appendages. The man told the officer his father, Roman Flores, 58, had come home intoxicated on a substance, assaulted him, and then threatened to shoot him to death, the report stated. Flores left the home prior to the officer's arrival, but he was arrested 2 days later on an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon warrant. He was released from the Ector County Jail after posting a $40,000 surety bond. San Angelo man killed in Midland County wreck. A 30-year-old San Angelo man was killed early Saturday morning in a two-vehicle crash in Midland County. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 68-year-old Midland man was traveling southwest on Tom Craddock Highway in a Chevrolet Silverado, and Ario Pela Fine, 30, of San Angelo, was traveling northwest on County Road 60 in a Kia Optima when he failed to yield the right-of-way at a stop sign and was struck on the right side at around 4:15 a.m. Fine, who was wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at Midland Memorial Hospital. The other driver, who was also wearing a seatbelt, was taken to the same hospital in stable condition. Flock camera leads to stalking arrest. An Odessa man was arrested last week after a woman accused him of stalking her, and Flock cameras confirmed it. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the 34-year-old woman called 911 on July 19th around 7:15 p.m. to report a man in a black Audi was chasing her. 3 days later, she called 911 at 12:30 a.m. to say the Audi had driven past her home on Elm Drive several times. She called again shortly before 6 p.m. the same day to say the Audi had followed her from work to her house and was repeatedly driving past her home. The woman supplied officers with the license plate of the vehicle. 8 hours later, at 2:15 a.m., officers received a shots-fired call from the woman's home, and she showed them doorbell camera footage revealing a man with neck tattoos coming to her door, pulling down a face mask, and carrying a handgun, the report stated. The woman told officers the man was the same man she'd reported was stalking her on July 19th and July 22nd, the report stated. Officers contacted the registered owner of the Audi, who said they'd sold the car to Dayron Aguirre Alvarez, 22. A photo of Alvarez was obtained, and it matched the man on the doorbell camera, the report stated. A review of Flock cameras confirmed the Audi described by the victim followed her on July 19th, according to the report. Alvarez was arrested on suspicion of stalking, a third-degree felony, and burglary of a habitation with the intention of committing another felony, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $120,000 and an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold. Police: teenagers admit selling M30s. An Odessa couple was arrested on drug charges recently after several people who had overdosed on fentanyl-laced pills told police they'd purchased the pills from one of the teenagers. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received information that Chris Vilchis Sanchez, 18, was on Instagram and selling fentanyl-laced oxycodone pills, known as M30s. The overdose victims told officers they'd bought the pills they overdosed on from Sanchez, who was known to drive an orange Volkswagen Beetle owned by Alyssa Marie Ontiveros, 19. On July 23rd, an officer spotted the VW, and a pursuit ensued between Sanchez, the officer, and officers from other law enforcement agencies, the report stated. Eventually, Sanchez came to a stop in the 3100 block of North Hancock. Officers found M30 pills in the car, along with two handguns, cocaine, a THC vape pen, and $1,800 cash, the report stated. They found more M30 pills and marijuana at the couple's residence on East 67th Street and West Murphy. Ontiveros, who was in the car, admitted to helping Sanchez sell drugs and to allowing him to use her vehicle to distribute them throughout Odessa, according to the report. The couple were arrested on suspicion of manufacturing or delivery of a controlled substance, two counts of possession of a controlled substance, unlawful possession of a weapon, and possession of marijuana. Sanchez was also arrested on suspicion of evading arrest in a motor vehicle. Sanchez remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on surety bonds totaling $122,000. Ontiveros remained in custody on surety bonds totaling $77,000.
Better Business Bureau scam alert. Spot a vehicle transport scam before you move your car, truck, or motorcycle. Summer is a busy season for moving, and scammers often take advantage of the trend for their own benefit. While finding the right moving company to help pack, transport, and deliver your household goods is stressful, adding vehicle transport can make the process even more challenging. Fraudulent shipping and logistics companies are used in various scams that involve transporting high-priced or bulky items, often stealing thousands of dollars from those unlucky enough to encounter them. If you are planning an upcoming move that involves transporting a vehicle, keep an eye out for this scam. Now, how the scam works. After discovering the moving company you are using for your household goods does not provide a service to transport your vehicles, you begin to search online for a company offering this service. After browsing a few companies, you find one offering a great deal. All you have to do is send them a deposit of a few hundred dollars, usually via a digital wallet service. On the day of your scheduled pickup, no one arrives to load your vehicle, and when you attempt to contact the company, your calls go unanswered, or excuses are made and the date is pushed back. Many consumers believe that an honest mistake was made or something occurred that was outside of the company's control, like a broken vehicle, so they alter their plans to adjust for the new pickup date. Depending on the time frame for moving, some consumers may have already handed the keys to their previous home to new owners, requiring them to make quick and often costly changes to their flight or lodging plans so they can accommodate the new pickup date. Unfortunately, on the day of the rescheduled pickup date, no one arrives again, and the whole process repeats itself until, eventually, the company stops answering your calls. In another version of this scam that a few consumers reported to BBB Scam Tracker, the shipping company did transport their vehicles, but an even more concerning problem presented itself when they attempted to retrieve the vehicle. Essentially holding the car, truck, or motorcycle hostage, the company demands more money than was previously agreed upon or claims they could not process previous payments. Now, how to avoid vehicle transport scams? Do thorough research to find a reputable shipping company. When it comes to expensive services and important high-dollar possessions, doing research is critical. Plenty of reputable transport companies are out there for you to find. Look for companies with verifiable contact information, good customer service, and reviews on third-party websites. Avoid companies that don't have a website, are difficult to contact, or have poor or no reviews. A good place to start your research is right here on BBB.org. Watch out for deals that sound too good to be true. If a company quotes you a price significantly lower than the market value for a service or product, consider it a red flag. In this scam, and many others, scammers try to lure their victims with unrealistic prices. Think about how you make payments. Don't forget that payments made through digital wallet apps are essentially cash payments. These services are designed to be used with people you trust and may not have the same protections to dispute charges as more traditional methods. Instead, pay with your credit card. It's easier to contest fraudulent charges on your credit card. Also, never make payments for services by wiring money or with prepaid debit cards. Anyone who requests payment this way is probably a scammer.
This is the Dear Abby column. Friendships that took a hit during COVID need rekindling. Dear Abby, I'm a woman in my late 40s, and since coming out of the isolation of the pandemic, the lockdown was strict where we live, I've had a hard time rekindling the friendships I valued before, with my two best girlfriends in particular. We used to have the type of relationship in which we were very open. We told each other everything and had a lot of fun. The last 2 years were really hard on me. I faced a series of serious health issues, as did my youngest kid, who almost died and had to be hospitalized in another city because the care centers here were overcrowded. A few months later, my older child had a mental health crisis that we now spend a lot of time working through. Those challenges completely change the way our house runs. They dominate my day-to-day life. The thing is, talking about all that feels too heavy. I don't want to be the friend who always brings down the room. On the other hand, when my friends find out everything that has been going on that I didn't tell them about, they're going to be angry that I've been hiding things from them, and it's going to damage our friendship. I don't have the capacity to take on managing anyone else's feelings, while at the same time, I wish I had more people to go out and have fun with. How can I be a good friend without sharing all the challenges? Signed, Not Sharing in the East. Dear Not Sharing, now that the lockdowns are over, and for most people, life is returning to near normal, get together face to face for a truth session with those friends. Tell them as much as you think they need to know, and enjoy them as often as you can. If they can't lighten your load, widen your circle to include some women who can. Do not feel you must manage their feelings or disclose all of your son's emotional difficulties. Make sure to devote some time listening to the challenges they may have faced over the last couple of years. True friends try to make the people they care about feel better, not worse. Dear Abby, I live with a man who sits around the house all day. If I'm outside doing yard work, he'll sit on the porch and watch without offering to help. He's retired and doesn't work. He's 59 and does nothing but sit up all night and sleep half the day. Any comments? Signed, Does It All in Kentucky. Dear Does It All, have you asked the man who is living with you for help? I notice you did not refer to him as your husband. If you have, and he refused, my comment is that your porch sitter appears to be lazy and unmotivated. He may feel that because he's no longer in the workforce, he doesn't have to do anything else until the good Lord claims him, which may be sooner than he thinks if he doesn't get up and do some exercise. In dealing with someone like him, try coming up with a way to motivate him. Hire someone to help with the yard work, or trade him in for a younger, more energetic model. I'm only half joking about that last option. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.